السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وکفا والصلاۃ والسلام علی سیدنا المصطفیٰ صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ واصحابہ وبارک وسلم تسلیما کثیرا کثیرا. قال اللہ تبارک وتعالی اعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. شہر رمضان الذی انزل فیه القرآن هدى للناس وبینات من الهدى والفرقان وقد قال اللہ تعالی انا انزلناه فی لیلۃ القدر وما ادراک ما لیلۃ القدر لیلۃ القدر خیر من الف شهر. صدق اللہ العظیم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, our sisters listening over the receivers and those listening over the radio stations, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's fazal, his ihsan, that he gave us life in this month of Ramadan, and he gave us the tawfiq to search for Laylatul Qadr or to seek Laylatul Qadr as per Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's direction in the odd nights of the last 10 of Ramadan. But many of us are under misunderstanding that it is only the Laylatul Qadr that is the important factor of the last 10 nights. So therefore, if somebody gets some kind of experience in accordance with the signs that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given of Laylatul Qadr on the 21st night, so now he believes that he already has achieved his objective and the rest of the nights now are of no real significance. So this is a great misunderstanding. Every night is important, and especially the last 10 nights are very, very important. They are great gifts of Allah Ta'ala. We must appreciate it, value it. I was intending to speak on a little on Laylatul Qadr and the Quran Sharif, but suddenly my mind is drifting onto something else. And I always believe that whatever comes on the spur of the moment in the mind, then that may be the best thing for myself and for everybody that is listening. Now, since there is a large audience that is listening outside on the radio stations, and we have visitors. And it is a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And in the short time, I think it is appropriate that we should discuss this hadith sharif, because it is somehow related to istighfar and tawbah, seeking forgiveness from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, which is the real objective of the Laylatul Qadr. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told us that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, that if she gets Laylatul Qadr, she wanted to know what should we read, what should she ask, what must be done. The dua that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught her was, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul af fa'afu anni. Oh Allah, you are very, very forgiving. You really love forgiveness. You love forgiveness. So therefore, forgive me. So now that is something that we are told to ask. So this hadith sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it is very, very relevant to our times. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his ahadith, they are called Jawami'ul Kalim. Very few words, but very, very vast meaning, ocean of knowledge Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives in a few words. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gives in a few words. So one sahabi asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that man najat. Hazrat Uqba bin Amir radiallahu ta'ala an, he asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, man najat, in what is our salvation, in what is our najat? Because we are told by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to ask for najat, to ask for salvation, to ask for amnesty. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could have given a very, very long speech and a long vaz, and every word of his would have been full of hikmat and wisdom and beneficial. But there are certain things we call as prescriptions. When you go to the doctors, the specialists, the chemists, they give you some prescription. They just write a few words there and give it. But that prescription is then a cure or a remedy for the sickness that the person is suffering. The doctor doesn't write one whole long speech there. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in accordance with the need of the person who was questioning, he mentioned certain things, but that was beneficial for the ummah at large until the day of Qiyamah. So, for example, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was asked that mal iman, what is iman? Now again, iman is so much of ayat of the Quran Sharif, so much of ahadith, so much of explanation about iman. But on that occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam merely said, إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ وَسَاعَتْكَ سَيِّئَتُكَ فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٌ. The gist of which and meaning of which is, when your good deeds give you happiness, when the person is doing good deeds, then that gives him happiness. I discussed this many times. The person is making namaz, fasting, giving zakat, he's caring for the widows, the orphans, the needy, the poor, the destitute. The person is fulfilling the rights of his parents, his children, whatever is regarded as pleasing to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, whatever is all good deeds. If a person is fulfilling any law of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, command of Allah ta'ala with the right intention and niyat, then his eating, drinking, everything becomes good deeds. So whatever good deeds gives him pleasure and happiness, and when his sins, when his evil, when his bad deeds, they give him grief, they cause him hurt, he doesn't feel happy about it. So that is a sign of iman. That's the gist of it. Now we must check in. That is a gauge. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave that as a gauge. How we have different kinds of meters, thermometer and odometer and this meter, that meter, and different kinds of gauges for different things. In the same way, this is the gauge now. Do our good deeds give us happiness, joy, smile? Or do our bad deeds and evil deeds and actions give us joy, happiness and smile? Now each one must check on their own. We all know what brings us happiness. Everybody knows what he is watching, what he is doing, how he is dealing, what brings him happiness. So in the same way here, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, with Uqba bin Amir, he says that he asked that what is najat. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned three things. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he mentioned three things for najat and for salvation. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, the first thing he mentioned is amlik alayka lisana. The meaning of which is exercise full control over your tongues. That means the speech of ours, it must be in our control. We must exercise full control. This tongue is something which causes the most amount of damage in family relationships, with clients and customers, with husband and wife relationship, children and parents, neighbors, the society at large. You can go on and on. What is it that causes the most amount of damage? It is this tongue. Tongue causes the most amount of damage. All the problems, they start from there. Most of the times the person makes a statement and he's unconcerned whether the statement of his will tear and slice the heart of the person that he's speaking to. The husband is addressing the wife in such kind of words that it tears up the heart of the wife. After that he keeps on saying that I love you, but finish. It's because of those words that he used. What kinds of words? We get letters all the time. We get complaints all the time. The kinds of words that are being used. And sometimes the husbands go to the extent of using such kinds of words which are used for women of loose repute, loose morals. And yet that wife may be a pious wife. She may be a one who is namazi. She hasn't even entertained even thoughts of those kind of things that this husband is now saying, but he is saying such kind of words. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, amlik alayka lisana. And sometimes it is the wives, that they are unconcerned that this is the husband of mine. He has got certain rights. Allah Ta'ala has given him a certain position. And therefore I should not address him in such a manner also that it breaks his heart. It makes him lose his love for me. It makes him feel that I am considering him to be just a person of insignificance and no worth, just because I earn more than him, just because I have a better car than him, or just because I brought a lot of inheritance into the home, or he is surviving on my hard work and earnings. So now, we don't say that it is justified. Many of the husbands, they are just placing the burden on their wives. In fact, many of them marry, and at that time they make an agreement that you will earn so much and I am earning so much, so we'll pool both together, then we'll pay our rent, light, water bills, and we'll travel and we'll do this, do that. Now, out of desperation, or if there is a real need, just because the husband's earnings does not suffice, then out of willingness, happiness, if the wife shares, then that is a good thing. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, she gave everything to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for the sake of the deen of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. She was the wealthy woman. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not have at that time. However, the husband should not be having that kind of an attitude that it is the duty of the wife that she must work and she must bring in the money and she must support me. That is not the correct attitude. So we have exception. There is a difference. So sometimes because of the wealth or because of her position in the society, because of her reputation as somebody that is holding a high position in some company, now the kind of language that they use against the husband, that is also inappropriate. It tears up the hearts of the husband. So the fault is both sides. Then sometimes the parents, they use such words against the children, that those children begin to hate the parent. Instead of loving the parents, they begin to hate the parents. They said, this father of mine is using this kind of language, or the mother is using this kind of language. And sometimes they are cursing them all the time. Who is free of fault and mistakes? We understand this, that in these days it's becoming extremely difficult to bring up the children. Parenting is becoming extremely difficult. And the major problem there is ourselves. We ourselves, we do not have any kind of example. In our own lives, we are not role models for our children. They are seeing so much of evil in our lives, and then we are telling the children that they mustn't do this, they mustn't do that. You think they're going to follow? In any case, we are discussing this beautiful little prescription that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given. If somebody has to tell somebody that I found a prescription for cancer, and it is simple and easy, the person will say, yes, bring, what is that, if the person is suffering from cancer. If somebody is suffering from sugar diabetes, and somebody says that I've got a very, very simple, easy prescription, so the person will say, bring it quickly, I want to use it, because I want a cure and najat from my sickness. So like that, najat in this world, najat in the qabr, najat in the akhirat, the person is in need of all three. He is in need of salvation and najat in this world also, in the qabr and in the akhirat. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says to this sahabi who wanted some advice on what is najat, or how can he get najat, salvation and amnesty, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, amlik alayka lisana. Because it is with this tongue that the person comes into Islam. Just as tasdeeq bil qalb, we were discussing yesterday, is important, that the person has to first acknowledge in his heart, he must accept, deep-hearted acceptance there must be there, that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is existing. Believe in the oneness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Believe in the risalat of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is the last and the final messenger of Allah ta'ala. Believe in all the angels of Allah ta'ala and all the books of Allah ta'ala, as we read in Iman Mufassal. Now all that, there must be a deep-hearted acceptance. But then the person who has got some kind of speech, he is not dumb. So then he has to also make iqrar bil lisan. He has to also give the shahada in speech. So this is what brings the person into Islam. And thereafter it is just a few words of kufr, a few words of rejection of Allah ta'ala and his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, a few words of mockery of the Quran Sharif or the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and finish, the person is out again from the fold of Islam. So it's words that brought him in and words that took him out. When the person is sitting in front of the presiding officer for nikah, whoever is performing the nikah, then it is only two words the person is saying and is coming into marriage. He's taking a woman who's a total stranger to him, total stranger. It is now that we have all this kind of potting for years and years and all the rest of it. Otherwise, it was not like that in the real Islamic days. So therefore, if the person is making nikah, is bringing a total stranger, and in that, all he is saying, nakahtuha wa qabiltuha, and finished. Just, he has accepted her in his marriage. So just with words, he brought a total stranger into his marriage, and they became husband and wife. And then suddenly he gets angry, and again now he makes talaq, 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 and that's the end of the nikah. This talaq, talaq, I always mention this. And it really happened. One person went to one, those days, to one alim, and he told him, I gave 3 talaqs. Now find a way out for me. I don't know how now to come out of it, because I gave, and that time they didn't run around to make 3 into 1. So he said, how do I come out of it? Is there any way out for me? So he was also asking for najat. So he said, yes, but it will cost you some money. He said, no problem, whatever the money, but I want a fatwa that I can come out. I gave 3 talaqs. So he said, did you study at any institution? He said, no. Did you learn tajweed? He said, no. Did you learn qalqala? He said, no. I never heard of qalqala. So how did you give talaq? He said, I said talaq, talaq, talaq. He said, no, the correct word is talaq. Now that, so you didn't make that qa properly. So therefore then talaq is not valid. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that amlik alayka lisana. Exercise full control over this tongue. As I said, that this is what is causing so much of problems in our society. People are just unconcerned what they are saying, to whom they are saying. And as a result, there's so much of friction, disunity in families, in homes, in society. So that is the first thing. We can go on. Look at Imam Ghazali Rahmatullahi, how much he has written on this. Kitabs are filled with it. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave it as a prescription. So just look at his beautiful words. Amlik alayka lisan. How we say the person is malik, is a master of, is in control of. So like that, this person must be in control of his tongue. He must think what he is saying. Not that after saying it, sorry, after saying it, sorry. The person goes on abusing the wife, or the wife abuses the husband, or the children, or the parents, they abuse each other, or family, society. Thereafter they say, maaf, maaf. So the people who are waliullahs, or the people who have got muhabbat for Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they will immediately make maaf. Once the person says, make me maaf, then they finish. After that, those who got that kind of a heart, akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they will immediately say maaf. They are not going to hold grudge. But if a person has to take a knife and stab somebody and say, make maaf. After a little while again, he stabs him and say, make maaf. Then he stabs him again and say, maaf. So now the maaf will take place, but what about all those stab wounds that he has caused? Those wounds that he has caused, that's not going to heal straight away. So, amlik alayka lisanak, wal yasaka baituk. And the second part of it is very important also. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving us, by way of explanation now, that we all know that every person's desire is to go out of the house. All the time we want to go out of the house. Our youth, where do they get lost? We talk about youth getting lost. Where do they get lost? Clubhouses, cinemas, discos, theaters and all. Because of that, going out of the house, unnecessarily when the person goes out of the house, then he will get caught up in some sin or the other. So it's not that the person is not allowed to go and visit anyone. Shariat says you mustn't come out of the house, you must lock yourself. It doesn't mean that, we must understand. To go and visit the family members and fulfill the rights of the family members, it's sawab. To go out and go and see the poor, needy, destitute, it is sawab. To go out for jihad, it is sawab. To go out for deen work and activity, it is sawab. To go out to earn your halal risk and sustenance, it is sawab and rewarding. In fact, it's a duty. So what is meant here is that unnecessarily don't go out, as has become customary in these days, that we invite unnecessarily to shopping complexes and to bazaars and marketplaces and all kinds of fun, entertainment and pleasure that takes place. Now this is the places that we are invited towards. And then we leave our homes without necessity. There's no need to leave the home. Now the person is going to go out, then he's going to cast lustful glances here and there, or the person will go to the shopping complexes. Now, look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's ihsan on the ummah, and look at his love for the ummah, and look at his compassion and kindness, The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he is concerned that we must not suffer unnecessarily. Now the person is going to the shopping complexes, now he's going to go past a jewelry shop. Now he can't afford even to buy bread and milk, but now he's going to go past the jewelry shop. And he's admiring that gold and silver jewelry. Then he's going past other shops. Now the people who cannot afford, and that is what happens, that children are taken along, everybody is taken along, let's go shopping complexes, go here, go there. And as a result, what happens is that after that, the pressure is on the parents, buy this, buy that, buy that. Now when they cannot afford it, they're sometimes beating up the child. They are sometimes swearing and cursing that child. Don't you know that I don't have that money? Do you think it grows on trees? Then why did you bring them there? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, unnecessarily, that is what it means. Unnecessarily don't leave your home, because you get caught in fitnas. These are times of fitnas. All around is nothing but fitnas. So either stay in the home, but then our homes also have become places of fitnas. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was referring to which homes? He was referring to the homes of the Sahaba ikram radiallahu anhum ajma'een, within which homes there was nothing of fitna of any kind. There was nothing. In the home, they were cheerfully talking to their wives, to their children, or they were discussing deen, or even if it was general issues. But there was a happiness, there was quality time that was being spent in the home. Quality time was being spent in the home. Now here the fathers are gone from the morning and come late in, at night, and even they come back also many a time, they're just having some supper and then stuck and glued to the television, or they leave home again and gone with their friends and come back 2 o'clock morning, 1 o'clock morning. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his love for the ummah, that if you're going out, then there must be a purpose for it. It must not be just unnecessarily going out and getting caught up in fitnas. And the home also. Look at the word that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam uses. Even if that home is small, but here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is giving a meaning in it, is that that home must suffice for you. The spaciousness Allah Ta'ala gives when the noor of taqwa in the person's heart, then even if the person is staying in a shack or a hut or a one-room flat or is staying in a, something very, very simple and basic, but Allah Ta'ala makes it spacious in his heart, he finds spaciousness. He will go to places in the world and visit, but when he comes back to his small little flat, then he says, Alhamdulillah, I came back home. Because those homes had barakah, they had noor. And that noor came with the ibadah, zikr, tilawat, fulfillment of rites, taqwa in the lives, which is the object of prescribing fast upon us. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in this, what he's directing us is that if there is a need, or for a good purpose, if a person is going to meet some friend, meet family members, go for business, or anything that is permissible, then go to the extent that there is a need, otherwise return home. Stay in the home and then occupy yourself in anything that's constructive, anything that's good. It doesn't mean that you have to all the time read kitab and read tasbih. A person is becoming an engineer, so find more and more books on engineering, read it up, or do something. The person is taking medicine, so therefore find more books, read it, nothing wrong with that. Whatever the person is engaged in, if it is permissible activity, then to spend little time on those, it is permissible. Doesn't mean all the time the person has to read tasbih, but that home must become an environment for us in which we find comfort. In now we are not fighting any kind of comfort in our homes. How many a times we say, I'm sick and tired now, I need a holiday. Now the person goes for a holiday, and when he comes back from that holiday, he says, I'm so tired, I need another holiday now. So therefore he was to go out of his house again. So there is the need for relaxation and for a little bit of holiday also, nobody says haram. But here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this home, it must give us comfort, it must give us, that we must try to stay in as much as possible. Then only we'll find more time with the wife and children. At present the biggest problem is this, that we don't have that quality time with our wife and children. Now there's no time, so let's go on to the third part where Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَبْكِ عَلَىٰ خَطِيَةِ. And that is how it is connected with Ramadan, connected with Laylatul Qadr, and connected with everything that we are now talking about. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, and cry over your sins. Cry over your sins, over your mistakes, make a'tiraf of qusur. This is another major weakness of ours, that we do not want to make i'tiraf. That means we do not want to acknowledge our weaknesses, our shortcomings and our sins. In fact, we will go out of our way to justify it. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling this sahabi that you want najat, so then control your tongue, stay in your home as much as you can, and cry over your sins. Kabhi ta'ato ka surur hai, kabhi aitiraf qusur hai. He malak ko jiski nahi khabar, wo huzur mera huzur hai. We are human beings, so sometimes we make aitiraf. Sometimes we enjoy our ibadah, tilawah, zikr, fulfillment of rights and obedience to Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So, kabhi ta'ato ka surur hai. And Allah Ta'ala has kept that sifat in good deeds, that the moment the person does a good deed, immediately he gets a kind of satisfaction and happiness in his heart. Now, at present, we know that what is happening around the world. Look at in Pakistan, look at in Palestine, look at in this side, Somalia, Sudan, and in our own country in different areas. Now, if somebody is assisting and helping somebody, then immediately it will give him sukoon and it will give him happiness in his heart. If he's making namaz, it will give him happiness. If he's making tilawat, it will give him happiness. So, kabhi ta'ato ka surur hai, kabhi aitiraf qusur hai. But my Allah, because we are human beings, and we are bound to err and make mistake and slip and fall, therefore my Allah, we are also making aitiraf qusur, that indeed we are the most sinful servants of yours on the surface of the earth. We don't consider others as most sinful. We consider ourselves as most sinful. Therefore, to say they were committing a lot of sins, that's why Allah Ta'ala sent azab. That is a very dangerous thing. They say it is because of our sins that mankind around the globe is suffering. Ya Allah, forgive us and remove their pain and suffering. So, kabhi aitiraf qusur hai. E malak ko jiski nahi khabar wo huzur mera huzur. Even the angels do not know when this person makes tawbah and istighfar, to what height he reaches. So there's Mubarak nights that are left and Mubarak days. What is required is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned, Wabki ala khatiyati. Cry over your sins and then see what kind of sukoon Allah Ta'ala brings into the heart. Allah Ta'ala's doors of mercy are wide open. He wants us to return. Allah Ta'ala wants to give us the ni'mats of Jannat, and He wants to give us peace, happiness, sukoon, tranquility in this world. How else are we going to get it? Except by obedience. And by mistakes and errors, then we make tawbah, istighfar. So these are the three things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned as a prescription for najat and salvation. Now if the person implements this in his life, of course it goes with namaz, roza, zakat, hajj. This is something else that we must always keep in mind, that if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned something to some sahabi, then there was no question that sahabi was not making his namaz, he was not keeping fast, he was not giving zakat. If there was anything that was farz, wajib, there was no companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that had to be reminded repeatedly that why namaz is farz 5 times a day, you're only making 3 times, you're making 1 time, you're making once in 7 days, you're making once on Eid day. There was no need for reminders. So together with that is like a package. Now if this person implements this thing, he'll find his life full of happiness, contentment, satisfaction, and he will get najat in this world, in the qabr, in the akhirah. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make as much ibadat as possible in the remaining days, to give us exercise and control, give us control over this tongue of ours which is causing so much of mischief, so much of fasad. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must make our lives happy, prosperous, give us His ma'rifat, yaqeen, muhabbat, and the difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering that mankind is going around the world because of our sins. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must forgive us and remove that suffering and pain. Whether it is in the form of floods, droughts, whatever it is, we must make a lot of dua and help in whichever way we can. And we must make special dua for the ummah of Nabi Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam around the globe. May Allah ta'ala bless us with the best of dunya, best of akhirat. Wa akhir wa ghanan alhamdulillah.